Well, if you would, go ahead and pick up your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be going to tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. As you're turning there, let me just give you a couple things. The first thing is just a foundational thing for the night, and it's this. I'll say it just up front here so we can remember as we're going through the night. But tonight's message is absolutely for Christians, for someone who has decided to follow Jesus as their Lord, for someone who has handed a life over to Jesus. When I say Christian, I always go, I need to maybe define that because people have all different ideas of what a Christian is, but somebody who has put their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. This message is for you, and it's for you and how you relate to other people who also claim the same thing. There's another way that we would relate to people who are not followers of Jesus. That's not going to be covered tonight. So I want to just throw that out at the very beginning so we understand this. This is for Christians as we relate to other Christians. Believers in Jesus as we relate to other people who also claim to be believers of Jesus. Do you guys got that? So we got that down first. The second thing is an observation. Sherry and I, my wife's name is Sherry. We came from Carson City, Nevada. We were in youth ministry up until about 6 years ago. And for about 20 years in youth ministry. So in those 20 years, you can probably imagine, we saw a lot of different students, a lot of different kids, a lot of different teenagers. We also were able to observe a lot of different kinds of parents. But if I were to be honest with you, I could probably classify, when it came to how parents related to their children, and all parents basically in general kind of fell in one of two categories. I think my wife would probably agree with me on this. The first one, and it's how they relate to their kids, is this, and maybe you would understand this. It is, I love you so much, apparently, maybe if they actually said what they were thinking, I love you so much, I want you to like me. I've seen parents like that. Maybe you also can relate to that. And I understand it. I want a relationship with my child. I want my child to, you know, like me. I want to have that close relationship. So, and it comes out with everything. It comes out in what I say to that child. It comes out in maybe how I treat that child, or maybe how I won't treat that child, or maybe what I will do or what I won't do, so that we can become friends. So I can become my child's friend. I saw that quite a bit. I saw another kind of love. And this other kind of love, I would tell you it was a deeper kind of love. It was a whole other level kind of love. And it was this, I love you so much, son, daughter, that I don't care if you hate me. You guys know what I'm saying? I love you so much, it's okay if you don't like me right now. And that kind of parent would say what needed to be said, not just what a child wanted to hear. That parent would do what needed to be done at times that maybe it didn't feel good for that child. It didn't feel good even for the teenager or whatever it is. But it was this kind of love that said, you know what? I care about you so much. I'm actually okay if you don't like me right now. That's the kind of love that I actually see Paul with the Corinthian church. If you remember, we've been going through this letter, 1 Corinthians. This is not a letter that Paul is writing to this church. And you can probably relate to this if you know it, you've been going through this at all with us. This is not a letter that Paul is saying, let me write a letter to these guys to get them to like me. Would you agree? I mean, that's not his goal. His goal is not, one of those mushy letters, oh, and you're so cute and you're adorable and stuff. Do you like me now? Little box on the bottom. Check this if you like me now, That's not this letter. In the first 3.5 chapters that we've just gone through, basically the summary is this, that Paul is saying to these people, you guys are a big bunch of divisive, arrogant babies. Do you like me now? That's not a great letter to say, I want you to like me. So why is he writing this? Because I'm convinced that Paul has the kind of love that's way deeper than that. And it's a love that says, I love you so much, I'm okay if you don't like me with what I'm saying. But you need to hear what I'm saying. You've got to hear it. Some of us also need to hear this. He's just getting warmed up, by the way. These first 3.5 chapters is just the warm up. If you're going, wow, this has already been pretty tough, and I think this Corinthian church has already been a little bit beat up a little bit, but just wait till we get into chapter 5 next week and on, because now Paul is going to get even more specific, talking about even more specific problems, dealing with personal things that some of the people are going, I know he's talking directly to me. He's not talking to the group of us anymore. I know he's talking to me. And that's how some of us might be feeling over the next few weeks. Because what was written back then is so relevant to us today. And some of us are going to be reading this and going, ouch, this hurts. And so I think Paul at this time is now, he's going to just take a little bit of a break to actually say why he's writing this letter. And this is why I know he's writing this with this kind of love, because he just flat out says it. But it's the reason why he's doing this, because he already knows he's been hammering these guys. He just finished being sarcastic with them. Remember about the arrogant thing? If you missed last week's message, please go online, thewellcommunity.org, and listen to that. If you haven't listened to it, it's awesome. Listen to that. But he has just really told them, hey, you guys are really arrogant. You got it all backwards. So he takes some time now to say, why am I saying this stuff? Why am I being what looks like pretty harsh with you guys? And let's look at it. In verse 14, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4:14, it says this. I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God doesn't consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Ouch. But a good ouch. You know, when he begins there in verse 14, I think this is actually the most important sentence where he just kind of carries on from this. But look at the first 14, what he says here. I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you in as my beloved children. When it says they're ashamed, he says, I'm not writing this stuff to shame you or embarrass you. That's what the word means. I'm not writing this. I'm not telling you guys you're messing up in all these areas, and you honestly are divisive and arrogant, and honestly you're acting like little babies. I'm not telling you that to honestly shame you or to embarrass you, because I could see why they would start feeling that way. Why are you doing this to us? But he makes it clear, it's not because I hate you or I don't love you. It's actually because I do love you. Because look what he says, I'm doing it to admonish you as my beloved children. The word admonish is different than being shamed. Admonish means to warn someone of the direction that they're going, saying, hey, where you're going is not a good direction. It's gonna lead to danger. It's going to lead to destruction. There's something bad about the way that you're going, and I'm going to warn you because I love you. As beloved children, I'm going to warn you with the way your behavior is or the direction you're going in your life. It's not good. And I'm telling you that because I love you, not to shame you or embarrass you. I was admonished. I've been admonished probably many times in my life. For the time that I thought it was when I was in Israel. A couple of years ago, I was able to go to Israel, and I like to go on adventures. Probably a lot of other people that came with me on that trip, they actually told me they couldn't believe what I did, but I went, hey, you know what? I want to go on an adventure. We had an afternoon off, and I went, I think I'm going to take a cab, go to Jerusalem, and just wander around Jerusalem all by myself. And I want to go through all the different quarters. I want to go through all the different neighborhoods. I got a walking map, the map of all the streets in Jerusalem, and I started taking a walk. And there's like these four quarters of Jerusalem, and I was going through the Arab quarter, the Arab section. And as I was going through the Arab section, I didn't want to go down the road that everybody goes down. I want to really check out the city. So I saw this little alleyway. And I looked at my map, and the map showed that the alleyway went through this neighborhood part of the city and then came back out on one of the main roads in the Arab quarter. And I was like, okay, that's going to be fun. I'm just going to go up these stairs and go through this alley. I started going up it, and then I heard this voice behind me, this old, very, very old Arab gentleman that was standing there on the corner. And he was, oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but... And he's shaking his finger and shaking his head. And for that split second, I very much understood Arabic. I just knew that what he was saying was, oh, do not go down that dark alley, you stupid, stupid American. And I didn't. He admonished me And I went, okay, I'm not going to go down the alley. And I went, maybe I should stay on the main street in the Arab quarter. Okay, I'll do that. So that was that. But that's what, honestly, that's what Paul is doing here. Paul is saying to these Corinthian people, what the road you're going down, that alleyway you're going down of this arrogance and division, it's taking you to a place of destruction. You're not going to like the results. It's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy the people around you. It's going to destroy your church. It's going to destroy your testimony. It's going to really ruin your fellowship with Jesus Christ, even. Your fellowship with your God. Don't go down this road. And he's not saying that to shame them. You get that? He's saying it because he loves them. But it has to be said. And they're not liking it. There's some of them that are going to respond. Some of them aren't. Some are going to keep on making excuses. Some of them are going to say, well, thanks a lot. But it doesn't matter to Paul how they're going to respond. He just doesn't want them to go down this road. And at least he doesn't want this to happen, that they're going to go down this road and they're going to keep going down it, because he never said a dang thing. He's going to say what he needs to say, even if it's hard. Because he looks at them as beloved children. He actually goes on and says why he looks at them that way. Why is he so invested in this church? Why is he so invested with these people? Why didn't he just go, hey, I planted a church, done deal. Good luck. See you later. Now I got to go and plant another church. That's my job. I'm just a church planter. You notice that Paul doesn't do that. Paul invests himself. He is so emotionally even involved with these people. Why? He goes on and says this in verse 15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you don't have many fathers. He says you have a lot of guides in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. And he says, he's really talking about that. I'm one of those fathers. The difference between a guide and a father is this, when I was looking it up. A guide was a Greek word that was used in that Roman culture to talk about a manager that was placed over a son. And that son, it was usually a slave, that was placed over a son to manage that son until he got old enough to be an adult. He would make sure that the son would go to school, wouldn't, you know, miss school, would come home from school, do his homework, make sure that he behaved properly, conducted himself properly, until that son got old enough to not have to have that manager anymore and was able to be a man on his own. That's what a guide was. Paul says you have a lot of people like that. The two distinctions I see about a guide is that it is a person that's invested in the other person's life to help them along, but it sounds like it's limited, doesn't it? It's a little bit limited investment. It's definitely limited in time. There's a time when it's going to be done. A time of beginning, a time of ending. He says, but you don't have many fathers. Somebody who's invested in you for the long haul and invested you a whole lot more than a slave that has been assigned your manager. You guys are my family. And family, we're always going to be family. And it's not going to end. And I'm in it for the long run with you guys. That was his attitude. And he says why that's true. He says at the last part of verse 15, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The reason why I'm so invested in you guys, that word, I became your father, is actually begetting. It's I fathered you in Jesus Christ through the gospel. I was there when you guys decided to make the decision to follow Jesus. When you guys came from death into life, when you guys were reborn, I was there and I was part of it. Now, Paul is not saying, I'm the one who birthed you. I'm the one who actually gave you life and actually gave you a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul knows he doesn't do that. Only God can do that. But he also saw this, that God was gracious enough to actually use him as an instrument to accomplish that. Has that ever happened with you? Have you ever been involved? You were there. You know you had nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? But you were with somebody else. Maybe you shared Jesus with them, and they went, okay, I am going to follow this Jesus. Don't you feel invested in them? You feel a connection with them. That's how he felt about this group of people. He was with them for a long period of time and saw so many of them handing their life over to Jesus Christ, and he went, man, you guys are my kids. I love you. And when I'm hearing about where you're going as a church, it breaks my heart. And I've got to tell you what you need to hear. I love you so much, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I've got to tell you what you need to hear. That's how much I love you. And he goes on and says this, verse 16, he goes, I urge you then, be imitators of me. What I love about this is now Paul is kind of switching it with, hey, let me tell you, let me admonish you, don't go down this road. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't go, you know what, you're going in the wrong direction in your life. You're going in the bad direction. You need to stop going in that direction. Oh, hey, good luck. He says now he begins to say, let me show you the direction you do need to go instead. That's a big part of admonishment. It's a big part of helping each other in the Christian life. It's not just telling each other or telling the other person what they're doing wrong, but give them the alternative. Show them a way to make it right. Share that with the person too. And he says it in this way, imitate me. Just look at my life. Yeah, you know what? I need Jesus just as much as you do. I've needed to hand my life over to him, and I need to trust the Holy Spirit in my life too for wisdom and for direction and for power and for victory. And you know what? I'm just like you, and I found the way to be able to do this by trusting him. Follow me as we both follow Jesus together. Come on. Let's go this road instead. So he says to imitate him. And then, as if he knows I'm not actually going to be physically around these people, he says this in verse 17. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. He goes, I urge you to imitate me. I'm not actually going to be around you physically. He was around them for some time, and they could think back, oh yeah, how was Paul? But he says, that's why I'm sending you Timothy. You see, he's just taking the extra effort, going the extra mile, saying, I can't get to you guys. At the time, he was doing work somewhere else that God had him in place there, and he wasn't done yet. But he did have this guy Timothy with him. Now, Timothy was a guy that Paul connected with on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. And it was like one of those times where you get together with somebody, and it was a younger kid guy, and they got together, and they just had almost an immediate bond with each other. And he calls him his child as well. Paul says, I have this connection with Timothy, and he can leave now. He's been with me for a while. He can leave, and he can remind you guys of my ways in Christ. And he can show you what it's about, physically show you, and remind you this stuff, just like I've taught everywhere else. So I'm sending you Timothy. Now, I love this because I see Timothy right now holding this letter. He was actually sent by Paul to the Corinthian church right after this, when this letter was written, when the letter was finished, with the group of people that was going back to Corinth. And I can just imagine Timothy knowing what Paul is writing here. This is not a fun letter. Here you go, guys. And you actually notice if you read on in chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, Paul again reminds him, hey, I've sent you Timothy. And he says this, make him feel at ease. Because he knows this is tense. This is not a nice letter, but it's a needed letter. And it's like he's saying, hey, you know what? Timothy's here with you. Please don't lynch him. And he actually says, I expect him to be there when I get there. And I expect to see Timothy again, you guys. So don't do something to him, because I could just see Timothy, you know, handing the letter over and then going, you guys okay? Oh, yeah. You haven't even got to the bad part yet. You know, that's how it was. And that's how Paul knew it was going to be taken. That's how he knew what he was writing. That's why he's taking this time to say, hey, I love you guys. That's why I'm saying this stuff. That's why I'm telling you this. That's why I'm sending you Timothy, to help show you, not to even just show you what you're doing wrong, but to really give you a chance to straighten it out. You got Timothy there now. You've got a way to do it. You got somebody to imitate. You got somebody to disciple you. And then he says, to teach you my ways in Christ, if you notice that. Paul's saying, I'm not admonishing you and telling you the way I think you should live. I'm telling you the way that Christ wants you to live. That's it. When we admonish people, let's not admonish people and tell people what we think our own judgment is. That's judging someone. Let's use God's judgment, Christ's way, and we say, you know what? I want to just direct you, and because I love you enough, I want to show you the way that Christ wants you to be, as what's written in his word. And he even says, as I teach everywhere in every church. You know why he says that, right? Because they're little kids, remember? I can't believe Paul's picking on me. Dad, how come you're telling me? You never tell sis to do the same thing. You ever did that? How come you have this double standard for me and you're always holding me? And Paul's saying, I'm not going to do that, you guys. It's not even going to be my standard. It's just going to be Christ's standard of how he wants you to live. And that's a standard that's universal. It's how he wants you to be. And it's how I teach and how I would give to anybody else. I'm not treating you any different than I would treat anybody else. He goes on and just says this. Look at verse 18. He says, some are arrogant. He's talking about some of the people that are going to be in the church. He goes, some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you. And I kind of get that too. He's going, you know what? I'm going to realize that there are going to be some people that are so puffed up, they're going to go, oh, a letter? Oh, Paul couldn't come here himself? What is he, chicken? You know, oh, he said, oh, good, he sent Timmy, his little boy. But he's not going to come. Paul realized there was going to be some people that weren't going to take it in the right way. But look what he says there in verse 19 and 20. He says, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Do you see what Paul's doing here? He's like, hey, you know what? And he's knowing these guys are probably going to be reading a letter along with him. Hey, you arrogant people that don't think I'm going to show up and stuff, and you think maybe I'm too scared to come, whatever. You know what? Don't worry about it. We'll hook up sometime. And when we do, I think we're going to sit down and have a nice, long chat. Follow what I'm saying? And we're not going to just talk about your talk and your arrogant words. In chapter 2, we already discussed that. He said, if it's not based on the crucified Jesus Christ, if it's not based on the gospel of Jesus, there's no power behind it anyway. And these people's messages and these arrogance wasn't based on the gospel of Jesus. They wouldn't be arrogant if it was. He knew that there's no power behind it. We know that too. And he says, you know what? I know there's a lot of talk, and there's going to be a lot of talk even after you get this letter. But it'll all wash out. We'll take care of it. We'll see where the power really is. And the power's in the kingdom of God, under the rulership of God, and anything that's under that umbrella. These people were outside of that umbrella. And so he's just saying that. And then you see in verse 21, what do you guys want? Shall I come with you with a rod? Or with love and a spirit of gentleness? And we know what he's saying there too, I think. If you're thinking, what does he mean by rod? It's probably what you think he means. Some of us might call it a switch, a paddle. For me, when I was growing up, me and my brother, Sam, for a long time, we wanted Hot Wheels. You're going, what is he talking about Hot Wheels for? But just listen up. We wanted Hot Wheels, and we loved to get more and more Hot Wheel tracks so we could make the track as long as we could and make all the loops and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so we grew up, and we kept asking it for Christmas. One Christmas, we got a couple of Hot Wheel cars and a whole bunch of track. And me and my brother Sam were so happy until my mom found this other very practical way of using Hot Wheel tracks. And they were very effective, I must tell you. Some of you may be out going, Well, long story short, we never asked for Hot Wheels or Hot Wheel tracks again. That's long story short. But that's, I see, when I read this, I think Paul is saying, what do you want me to do? You want me to come with a Hot Wheel track? Or do you want me to come with a hug? Your choice. You see what Paul's doing here? He's saying, you know what? Now the ball's in your court. I can't make you do anything. I can only share the truth with you. That's all I can do. I can't change you, but I can respond to whatever you do decide to do. If you decide to respond in a good way, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to give you a hug. I'm going to put my arm around you. And what's in the past is in the past. And let's just go on from here. And it's okay. Let's go. If you decide not to respond, well, then there's going to be another response from me. And it's, again, not because I hate you, but it's because I love you that I'm going to come and we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it however we need to deal with it, but I am not going to give up on you guys. And I'm invested in you because you guys are my kids. That's Paul's attitude here. When I read this and I think, how does this apply to us? Let me just tell you a couple ways that I think of. The first thing is this. I think of us as a church, as the Well Community Church. Last week, if you heard Brad's message, he said, hey, it was basically, what did you expect? Remember that? It was, what did you expect when you came to Jesus? What did you really expect that was going to be about? Let me just kind of extend on that and say this. What do you expect from the Well Community Church when you come to a service here or if you get involved in here as a family? If you're here visiting and stuff, that's great. You're checking things out. I want you to honestly know what to expect. If you've been here even for a short period of time or even a long period of time, let me go over why we do what we do here at the Well, at least some of the culture here. And it's based really on this passage and passages like this. If there's somebody on stage here, whatever it is over the week, whatever the weeks are and whatever we're going through the passage, we want to hit you with the truth. We care about you so much that we're not here to tell you what you want to hear. You know? We want to be here to tell you what you need to hear. And honestly, I think that's what you want. I really do. I think that's what most people want. Most people are saying, I'm done hearing everything that I want to hear. I need to hear what I need to hear. I want to just hear the truth. Even if it's hard, I want to hear the truth. That's why you're here. Because you've been looking for that. But just in case you didn't know, that's what we're here for too. If you're going to see somebody on stage, I'm telling you right now, we're going to tell you the truth. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes it might hit you right between the eyes. Sometimes you might even leave feeling a little bit beat up. Understand, you guys, it's not because we hate you. It's because we love you. We care about your spiritual life. We don't just care about our own personal spiritual life. We care about the people who come here, and we care about sharing the truth, no matter what the truth is, and meeting people where they're at, but also loving people enough not to keep people where they're at. That makes sense? Look, if you're looking for a place to feel comfortable, I'm going to be honest. I don't know that this is the place for you. If you're looking for a place that is more concerned not about your comfort, but about your character, then maybe this is the place for you. Because that's what we're going to be more concerned about. Not about your comfort as much as we are about your character. Now, I'll be honest with you. I kind of want you to like me. I'll just speak for myself. I don't know about the other people that you'll see on a stage, but I'm like, I like having friends. It's nice. And I don't like it when people hate me. But I will tell you this. I don't want to ever hold back what this says for any reason to think, well, I don't know how they're going to take this. They might take this really hard. I want to go, let's read this, let's go through it, and if it hits us hard, then that's okay, because we're doing this out of love, and we all need to hear this. When I'm doing this stuff, when any of us are up here, we're talking to ourselves just as much as we're talking to you. I hope you know that. We all need Jesus Christ, and we all need to rely on him just like everybody else, every single one of us. But that's what I hope you expect when you come here to this church. We're not the only ones that want to just give you the truth. If we were that arrogant, that would be a problem. We thought, hey, we're the ones that are going to give you the truth and the ones that are going to tell you what you need to hear, and we're the only ones. We're not. But I do pray this. I pray we're one of the ones that are going to tell you the truth and not hold it back and not going to be too concerned about your comfort, that we're not concerned enough about your character. And I think we need to feel uncomfortable at times. It's okay. So expect that, especially over the next few weeks. I'm going to give you the heads up. The next few weeks as we go into chapter 5 and on, the way that Paul goes really personal, the way that Paul even brings it up a notch, we're not going to hold back either. We're going to bring it up a notch. So be ready, because some of the stuff that's being talked about in chapters 5, 6, 7, and on, some of us are exactly in those areas that need to be dealt with. And you're going to leave a little uncomfortable. But hopefully you're going to leave with an attitude to change. And an attitude to trust Jesus in those areas in your life. Just heads up. That's what's coming. And I think it's going to be awesome. I hope it doesn't just happen with something on stage. I hope it happens with your kids and Kids Connection. That you come here to this church, you're going to hand your kids off, and the teachers and the helpers and the volunteers are also going to be in Kids Connection. Not as concerned about the comfort of your kids, but concerned about the character of your kids and concerned about teaching your kids what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear. That if you have a student or somebody that's in our WSM, our Well Student Ministry Program, that the same thing will happen there, that they're going to hear what they need to hear. That's what we're here for. That you're going to have leaders in this church that love you and love the people in your family enough that we're okay if you don't like us for a while. We're not going to love you just enough for you to like us. It's okay if you don't. And I think that's what you want. I think that's what you want for your family. But that's who we are. If you're going to go to a life group, you're going to have a life group leader that's going to say things that's going to make you feel uncomfortable at times. I hope you're okay with that. But it's because they love you, not because they don't. It's not because they want to make you feel shamed or embarrass you. It's because they love you. If you come to academy, if you go through residency, whatever we provide here, that's who we are. We want to be like this and love you with real love. But I got to tell you, even with all those things going on, let me tell you seriously, this is the biggest application and this is the biggest thing I could tell you, is that the real work is going to be done, the real change is going to happen at a grassroots level. And it's going to be done, guess by who? By you guys. By all of us. Because see, I kind of see, in as far as with this passage, we're more of guides. I'm not going to know all of you. Not personally. I'm more of like the guide kind of person. I have you for a certain amount of time. There's a beginning, there's an end. There's an hour that we have. There's a half an hour of teaching here. There's an hour of teaching here. Even your life group leader maybe meets you with a little time, and maybe they develop some relationship with some of you, but not every single one of you. And we're more of guides. But you, God has placed you, strategically placed you, fellow believer, among other believers, that you are much more than a guide. You're invested in their life. You're around their life, not just for a certain amount of time, but you're invested in a long time. They're your friends. They're your family. They're your brothers and your sisters in Christ that God has placed you around. And you know what? I'm just going to challenge us now to not just like those people enough that you want them to like you. But we, all of us, with the people that we have around us, the other believers, that we would say, you know what, if somebody is going off this road, they're going down that alley, that dark alley, and we see it, that we are going to go, okay, this is a little bit scary. I'm putting my friendship on the line here. I'm putting this relationship on the line, but I care about that person. And you put your arm around him and you say, hey, buddy, hey, sister, we need to talk. We need to talk. Some of us have been putting that off because we love that person enough that we want them to like us. Just sitting you straight. It's time for us to kick it up a notch and for us to look at the people that God has placed in our life and say, I want to love them the way that God loves us. I want to love them enough that it's okay if they don't like me. But if they're going down a road, I don't want to be the one that stays silent. And they go down. If they continue to go down that road, I do not want it to be because I never tried to do something. Put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. Tell them why you're doing it, just like Paul did. Show them an example. Don't just tell them they're going down the wrong road. Say, you know what? And here's the right road. Follow me as I'm following Jesus. I'm just as messed up as you. Let's go together, or let's get together with this other person, maybe a Timothy, who can guide us both, but let's do it. Let's deal with any peripheral people that maybe are a bad influence, and let's deal with that area too, and then let's set up this too. You know what? We're going to have a plan of accountability. I'm going to hold my arm in one hand like this, and I'm going to have a Hot Wheel track in the other one. And in 6 months from now, we're going to decide which one we're going to use. But I'm willing to do that with you, even if you don't like me for it, because I care about you too much. Let's love the people around us enough that it's okay if they hate us. Let's pray. Lord, we pray. Thank you. Thank you for being the example of this kind of love. I through the scripture, God, you are that kind of lover where you did not tell us what we want to hear, and we thank you for that. We don't want to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear what we need to hear. Thank you for telling us the truth about ourselves, but also the way to have a relationship with you, to have the solution to that problem and any problem that we have. And Lord, that we would adopt that, that we would have you as you transform our minds, that we would become like you with the people around us, and we'd see that it's not just about my life, it's about our life with you. That we look around at the people around us and say, Lord, I want to adopt the same kind of love that you have for us, and that is a love that's sacrificial, that doesn't matter what somebody thinks about us, but we simply care about their lives. God, for some of us, you're already putting a person on our minds that we've been putting off, that we need to go to this week and put our arm around him and say, hey, we need to talk. Let's go. Help us, Lord, to be loving, caring, but unapologetic people that admonish each other when it needs to happen. In your name, amen.